always focus on the next shot, because if you're dwelling on the last shot, how are you going to be ready to make the next save? You know, so I think just really letting that one go, like, yeah, you can like keep that in the back of your head, like, I should have had that next time, but you need to focus on the shot that's coming next. Always focus on the next shot. Always focus on what's happening next.
Welcome to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. Every week, we'll be talking shop with lacrosse goalies, coaches, and special guests. This is the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. Now your host, Coach Damon Wilson.
Ladies and gentlemen, goalies from around the world, welcome to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Damon, and this is the show 100% dedicated to the best position in sports, if you ask me, and that is the lacrosse goalie. And on this show, my job's really simple. It's just track down the best goalies in our sport, have these conversations, interview them, find out what makes them so great, what makes them tick, what are the drills that they do, what are the mindsets that they have, how did they get to where they are at the moment. And hopefully within each episode, you can pick out a thing or two that you can take into your own lacrosse goalie game. I know I certainly do. There's always things that I learn talking with these elite level goalies that I then incorporate into my own coaching and share with the youth. My guest on the show this week, Caleb Fayok, one of the top goalie recruits of the class of 2027. He's going to be heading to the Ohio State University in 2027. His older brother plays at Penn State. Awesome to hear the story of Caleb and how he learned this position. Got a little family of goalies over there with the in the Fayoks. Awesome young man, and I know you're going to love this conversation, so please enjoy my chat with the big, tasty hawk himself. It's Caleb Fayok. Last week, we wrapped up the Lacrosse Goalie Summit 7, and if you missed it, I gotta say this, it was electrifying. 5 days of nonstop content about every corner of the lacrosse goalie universe. We covered things like the proper save techniques for more consistency, building that bulletproof mindset and that mental game, simple hacks to win games, recruiting tips to get into a great college. We talked about school and life balance. We talked about how to communicate with your defenders. We talked about awesome tips and drills to help you clear the ball. And drills. We covered so many drills and really everything in between. A lot of lacrosse goalie moms and dads said this. This was from Heather Hagen. She said, my 2027 son, Jace, is participating in the summit. And wow, just wow. The amount of info / knowledge him and I have gained is incredible. Every goalie should go through this. 100% agree, Heather and Jace. That's exactly why I brought 20 of the best goalie coaches in the world together for this amazing event. If you missed out on it, you can still grab the VIP pass. LaxGoalieRat.com/VIP. That gives you lifetime access to all of the videos. You've got a slim window of opportunity to grab that VIP pass. It's going to go up in price soon. Here's what one goalie mom told me over the weekend. She said, my daughter, 2025, was away at camp during the summit, so I purchased the VIP pass, and she's watching the sessions now that she's back in town. Just wanted to let you know how incredibly helpful all these sessions have been to me as a parent, and I know they will be even more valuable to her in the goal. She's starting with the summer tournament prep video, getting ready for her tourney this weekend in Chattanooga. That was Tim Cassie. He did a tips for summer tournaments for goalies and parents. Amazing session. You can download all those videos if you get the VIP pass. Watch them on the car. Watch them on the plane ride. It's awesome stuff. Once again, grab that VIP pass. Available for a limited time. LaxGoalieRat.com/VIP. I guarantee you the best value you're going to get for lacrosse goalie coaching. LaxGoalieRat.com/VIP. Awesome. Well, it's a pleasure to welcome to the podcast, Caleb Fayok. Caleb, how's it going today?
Going good. It's going good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a pleasure. I'd love to hear the story of when you first jumped into goal. You remember that? Your very first save?
Yeah, it was a long time ago. I was about 7 or 8 after Scoopers, you know. there had to be a goalie. I saw my brother doing it, so I was like, might as well hop in, see what that's about. Pretty sure first save was crease crank, hit me right in my shin. Pretty sure I fell to the ground crying, just rolling, just screaming. It was awful, but I think that was my first memory of me making a save right on the shin from like 2 yards away.
Yeah, I still remember the first shin blaster that I took. It was in warmups of like one of the very first times I jumped into goal. It was right on the bone. Yeah. And I was just like, what? Wow, man, that hurts.
Yeah.
What am I doing out here?
Yeah.
You mentioned your brother, your older brother plays at Penn State. Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. And so, it's interesting that you have two goalies in the family. Mm-hmm. That's usually not the case. Usually you got one goalie and the other one's like a shooter or attackman. But for you, it was like, oh, I've seen my brother do this. Like I kind of want to follow in his footsteps.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a lot like that. I mean, sitting on the sidelines, watching him play when it was a rec lacrosse, back when lacrosse was just all about having fun. Now we moved from Florida and our dad signed us up for a bunch of different sports and one of them was lacrosse. So he signed my brother up. I go to his games every weekend and I just see like how much fun he had and how like interesting the position is compared to every other position. Cause besides faceoff, like it's just you by yourself, really. I mean, it is a team sport. You do have your defense supporting you, but honestly, all the pressure is really kind of put on you. And I think that's what was pretty unique for me at that time, like understanding that he was playing the position really well and it was a really important aspect of the game. So that's what kind of led me to playing goalie.
Awesome. Yeah. So I usually ask like, you know, how did you go about learning the position? Was it from, how do I say his name? Alaric?
Alaric.
Say again?
Alaric.
Alaric. Alaric. Yeah. Was it Alaric that was kind of showing you the ropes when it came to the goalie position? And if so, like where did he learn it from?
Not really, to be honest. I mean, he got lessons here and there when we played for our rec team, Bowie. But he really learned it when he was pursuing to go to high school, St. Mary's. He had this goalie coach, Jack Manley. He's hands down one of the best goalie coaches in the country, I think. So I went to lessons with him and he kind of taught me exactly like what his coach was teaching him. And then my dad picked it up and then my dad kind of became like my goalie coach. Oh, so nice. I think him going to high school and him finding a good goalie coach and then my dad learning, I think that's where I learned most of my goalie knowledge from my dad.
Yeah, that's awesome. And he never played goalie, right?
No, he's never played lacrosse.
Never played lacrosse. So how did he go about, I mean, there's a lot of parents probably listening to this in that exact scenario where their kid comes home and they're like, hey, I'm the goalie. And they're like, oh, well, I've never been the goalie. I've never played lacrosse. How did he go about learning how to teach you?
I think he understood that I'm not, especially me being younger than my brother, I'm not going to have that really like coach to always be there because high school is different from middle school. So I think he started to learn and like recognize exactly what the goalie coach was teaching my brother and I. And then he became my club coach, my club goalie coach. And then he used what he learned and then formulated it to his teachings with me and other goalies on my team. So I think when he realized like he's in it with me, like he understands that if he's going to be my coach, he's got to learn something he learned. And yeah, so I think that's really why.
Yeah. And there's also a big element of being a great goalie coach that's not the like the X's and O's or the technique. It's more of like the rah-rah and the encouragement and like the mental game. And like you don't even need lacrosse background to be able to do that. Does he teach you lessons like that as well?
Yeah, especially being my father, you know, being coach, I'm kind of around him a lot, especially during the high school season, because he's the goalie coach at St. John's. So I think him being around there and him understanding how I'm kind of like toned in, like how I'm wired compared to other goalies, like, you know, things get on my nerves very easily and they can go downhill really quickly, but he's just there like telling me good saves, you know, even if I didn't make a save, he's telling me exactly what I need to work on from that save, whether that's staying up or stepping to the ball. I think it's a support system, but he's also telling me exactly what I need to do because he tells the truth a lot. He tells me exactly, what I did wrong, what I did good, if I had a good practice or not. And I'm not going to take that to heart. If he says I had a bad practice, I'm going to be like, okay, well, I don't want to talk to you for the rest of the night or anything. Like, he's just trying to get me better, and he's trying to help me understand that this is what it takes to play at the next level.
Yeah, love it. Love it. Yeah, my dad was the same. He did. I mean, I'm growing up, he was always coaching my teams, even though like he didn't play the sport. It's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome. That's cool. It's really, and I'm going to be that way with my kids too. And I'm sure you will be with yours. Love it. So what about like when you're first learning the position, did you have any like major sticking points? Any things you're just like, man, I can't figure this out. Certain type of shot, being scared of the ball. I don't know. Does anything come to mind for you?
Yeah, it was being scared of the ball, especially starting in the beginning. You know, that was really one of the big parts and one of the big step backs for me when I was starting young, was getting hit by a ball that's coming probably like 40 miles per hour. I don't know, something soft like that. But I was just a kid, not understanding that it gets a lot much worse when I grow up. So I think I remember one day I got hit. I fell on the ground, started rolling, you know, doing this whole routine. My dad comes over. He's like, crying doesn't make it any better. Get up. I don't want to see you cry again. And from that day on, I have not rolled on the ground or cried once from getting hit by a shot. You know, I just say something under my breath and keep going, you know.
Love it. Love it. You're a pretty big dude. In fact, your Instagram's the Big Tasty Hawk. I love that. The Big Tasty. How does that, you know, how do you... Well, first of all, I'd love to know if like, have you always been that big, or is it kind of a recent thing? And how do you incorporate, you know, your size into your goalie play?
Yeah. So I've always been the biggest kid, no matter where I went, whether that was school, whether I was on the sports field, no matter what, I was always one of the tallest, one of the biggest at a large frame as a kid. So I got that name, and then I kind of just stuck with it. You know, I told everyone, like, that's what you call me, like, for now on. I told my coaches, like, that's my nickname. Like, prefer you to call me that instead of Caleb or anything, back when I was, like, I don't know, let's say, like, third grade. So that nickname kind of stuck. And then I think, what's it called? I think once I started getting recognition, like, starting to realize, like, growing, like, becoming a better goalie and growing up, I think that name really stuck with me, and that kind of like made a name for myself. And like, a lot of people know me as a Big Tasty or a Big Tasty Hawk. A lot of people don't really know my real name, so I think that's kind of unique, exactly of how that nickname like really has a testament to me and how I play. Because being a bigger body, you know, I can use that. There's some advantages and there's some disadvantages. You know, one advantage is that I take up most of the goal. So if I get that 45-degree step and take the angle away, like, it's going to be hard for them to score. You know, they have to shoot for perfect corners. And I think that really helps me, especially because it's a perfect corner. You know, you either hit it or you don't hit it. It's one of those things. So I think that really helps me, especially with far shots, mid-range to far shots. I think that's really a big help with my body frame.
I love it. All right, when this episode comes out, I'll have to put the Big Tasty in the title. Otherwise, people are like, who's Caleb? Who's Caleb Fayok?
Yeah.
No, it's Big Tasty. Big Tasty. I just imagine, like, you know, you make a save and your middies are like, Big Tasty! Like, as you're doing the outlet pass. That's cool. So did you, you know, I imagine you looked up to your brother and kind of learned from him quite a bit. But when it comes to, like, other goalies, were there other like big bodied goalies that you really like to watch play?
Not really in particular. I think I try to I grew up playing a similar style to my brother and try to like make it my own a little bit. So I didn't really like try to like focus on any other goalies. I try to do what really worked for me. And sure, I took some aspects of Coach Phipps, you know, Brian Phipps, Whipsnakes goalies, really good goalies, really good coach. I think I took some aspects from his game because him and my dad are partners and they work on GPS goalies. So I think my dad learned from him. They took that. And it's just the small things that Coach Fit does, I incorporate into my game. And then I really kept everything else the same. I didn't really look up to any other college goalie or anything. Like, it was just me just playing my game.
Yeah, love it. Yeah, I've had Coach Phipps on the podcast, and he's actually presented at the goalie summits that I do. Oh. And he's awesome. Yeah, awesome guy. Yeah. What you mentioned, like, taking some little things from him. What are some examples of that?
Yeah, so like coming around from X, GLE, always have your foot like on the outside of that pipe, so you leave no room for like if the shooter's really accurate, they can't sneak it in there. Like always keep your foot on that pipe. It's not really going in. I also think from a stance position, like the way he plays the stance is also a really good part. And yeah, communication also. I think communicating was also a big part of what he taught me.
Love it. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I've seen a video of him teaching that. I don't know where I saw it. I just watched so much lacrosse stuff that now it's all blending together. But yeah, he's teaching that exact technique, which is pretty cool. It's pretty cool. The other thing I was going to say, so when I watched the tape, I mean, you know, you're a big dude. I don't like 6'1", 275, I think I read. But nimble. I mean, quick with the feet. You know, how did you develop that level of quickness while being so big?
It was a lot of work on the ladder, I think. I think footwork, especially being early on, I think that was one of my downfalls of being a goalie when I was younger. Playing for Crabs, you know, before I switched over to the 22 Hawks, I think I'd do the ladder for like 15 minutes during practice, just get my feet warm to get me quicker. And I think also working in the backyard with my father, going to fields and doing that same thing, just having lessons. I mean, I still do it for preseason workouts, all the St. John's Bullies. We all hit the ladder, get our feet moving, make sure we have quick feet and make sure that our hands and feet are in sync. So I think that's what helped me and that's what's gotten me quick.
Love it. Yeah. Are you a jump rope guy or just the ladder?
I'm not a jump rope. Right. I'm more of a ladder guy.
All right. I like it. You mentioned switching club teams. I'm curious why you did that. And I mean, I'm not so in on youth club lacrosse. I know a lot of goalies that listen to this are, right? I mean, you got your high school, you got your club. Was there a specific reason why you changed?
So youth, I kind of went wherever my brother went. So it was kind of like whatever, make it easier for my parents, wherever we drive to practice, you know, I'd have practice at the same location, maybe later before him. So I think once he moved over to Hawks, I decided to leave Crabs. I think at like fifth grade, maybe I left Crabs and then I went over to the Hawks 22. And then I didn't really look back from there. I had a lot of kids, a lot of friends that I used to play with before. Some were on Crabs, some moved over to Hawks, like Mikey Wizar. And then some were just new kids. Some were kids I was going elementary school, middle school with. So I think that played a big part in me staying with the Hawks and just being around a great group of guys and a great coaching staff really helped. And then I think after last summer when everyone graduated, I had to make a choice. And my brother's actually goalie coach for the 23 Crabs, so I decided to go back to Crabs. And then, yeah, so finishing my club ball there.
Nice. Awesome. Did you always want to play Division I lacrosse? Was that always a goal for you? Or like when did that idea come into your mind?
It was my goal. I think early on realizing that, especially going into middle school, like I could really do something with this. Like I have the talent to go play college lacrosse, whether that's D1, D2, or D3. Mm-hmm. I think the goal was D1. My dream school is actually North Carolina. So that was really the goal. But obviously plans changed and I'm attending Ohio State, which I think is the best fit for me.
Congratulations, by the way. Going to be attending, let's see, not next year is your senior year at high school, and then going to be attending Ohio State. So that's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm curious to hear about the recruiting process for you. So you got, you know, middle school, you kind of realize, hey, I'm pretty good at stopping these shots. Like I'm having fun. Like I'd love to play this at the next level. Where do you go from there? What's kind of like, if you had to give the plan to a young goalie in middle school right now about how to get recruited, like what would you say?
I think going to a high school that puts your needs first, I think not going to a high school right down the street where it's going to be easy, where you wake up, say school starts at 8:30 and you wake up at 8 and you can get there in 30 minutes. I think it's a time place where it's like, make it difficult on yourself. So when you do go into college, you'll be used to it. I wake up 5:30 every morning. I get to school around 7:15. First class starts at 8:10. So I think waking up that early, that's going to give me an example of, that kind of shows me how college is really going to be. Early lifts, waking up at 5:30, get to the facility by 6, lift probably around 6:10, an hour lift, hour and a half lift. After that, hit the practice field, go back, classes, eat, more classes, and then homework. I mean, it's just a job at that point when you go to college. So I think you have to look at a high school that really prepares you academically and socially. I think it really puts your priorities. You know, we don't have lights at St. John's. So right after class, you go straight to the athletic building, you get dressed, you either lift or you go out to practice. So I think St. John's really does a good job of preparing me for college and a lot of my other teammates, especially because those early mornings, you know, kids wake up around like 5:15. They wake up before me just to go to St. John's. So I think going to St. John's and that being in D.C. when I live in Maryland, like being a good amount of distance, I think it's hard for sure, especially in the beginning, but you get used to it and it starts like preparing you, like got to get to bed earlier than I usually do, or I got to get my homework done, or I can get some of it done tonight, wake up, get it done on the bus or on the car ride there. I just think it's like prioritizing and it's like managing your time well. I think that's what's going to prepare you for college and getting recruited, especially finding a place where you like.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that level of dedication. It's interesting to hear. It's what it takes to get into, you know, you got to have the grades, right? So you got to work hard in the classroom. You got to have the athletic achievement, both like, you know, the technique and then the physical, like, you know, exercising and working out. And you got to balance all that, right? So yeah, I mean, I love that level of dedication. That's awesome. In terms of then like videos, so did you like, at what point did you start putting your highlight tapes on YouTube?
I think it was like my freshman year. One of my teammates' dads actually made videos. So he made a video for me. And that's, I think that was my first like highlight tape coming out, finishing up my short freshman year, especially during COVID. And then after Naptown going into freshman year, I think that's where all my clips came from the HSLS and Naptown and everything.
Yeah.
I think. So that's when my first clip really came out. That's when my first highlight tape really came out. And then after my sophomore year, it came out probably a month before like 10 days before September 1st. So put that out on YouTube. And those are like my only two highlight tapes. So I don't really have anything else.
Yeah. And then did you, you know, you mentioned wanting to play for North Carolina or playing D1. Did you then email those out to the coaches? Did your parents do that? Did your coach do that? Or how did you even get on these guys' radars?
Not really. So I had a great club coach, Coach Ripley, and then I have a great high school coach, Coach Speaks. They both do a lot for me. I think Coach Ripley really told me exactly who's going to call me, who's going to contact me before. Like, he's just going to give me a heads up, like, Syracuse is going to call you, Penn State, Maryland, Ohio State, you know, and I told him, like, what schools I'm really trying to, like, put forward and, like, trying to focus on. And then I said Ohio State because I think it was the best fit, again, academically, than, say, North Carolina. You know, they have a lot of academic support, especially talking to my teammate, Tate Jones, going to Ohio State next year on my Hawks team. I think talking to him really gave me an insight on exactly how awesome the college is and how much they can help me in and outside of the classroom and on the field.
Yeah, that's a really good point about, you know, if you're considering schools, reach out to kids that you know that are going there. I mean, even if you're a goalie, like the goalies are like super, it's a super tight knit, small community. So I would imagine that like, if you reached out to one of the college goalies on the team and be like, hey, like I'm considering it, can I ask you a few questions? I'd say, yeah, I'm sure they'd say yeah too.
Yeah.
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 That's cool. So what was it then? I mean, what did they say about Ohio State in terms of the academics? Like, it has the major that you have or that you want to study, or what was it specifically about that program that enticed you so much?
Honestly, I have no idea what I want to major in. I'm not going to lie. I think a lot of kids might know what they're going to major in, but I think it's the support system. You know, obviously I'll find out a major before I get there, once I get there, but after I graduate, I'm going to spend a month in Columbus in the summer program to just a month to get 3 credits in, work out with the training staff and just kind of get like adjusted to life and really working. And I think the academic support at Ohio State is far from none to any school. I think you have to have, I think, I want to say, I don't know how many hours a week. I got to check on that, but you need a certain amount of hours a week in study hall. You know, you got to meet with tutors. And that's like mandatory. Like, you just can't get out of it. Like, they want you to succeed. If you fail, the coaching staff failed you. That's how they see it. So I think I think what their mindset and what they're going to do for me and put me in the program I'm going to be in and set me up with the schedule, I think I'll be successful there and have no problem graduating within 4 years.
Yeah. Well, I have no doubt you will either, man. That's awesome. That's awesome. Maybe take a fifth year, play an extra year of lacrosse.
maybe.
Yeah. All right. I like it. I was going to ask, so, you know, you just finished your junior year. You've committed, you're going to play at Ohio State. Is there, you know, there's a certain level of like, I made it, right? Like, but your senior year is still very important. And so I'm wondering, like, you know, how you keep up that level of intensity, both in the classroom and on the lacrosse field.
Yeah. So I think classroom wise, it's obviously if I don't keep up in the classroom, like I can't play the sport. I go to St. John's to play. Like that's just a fact. Like you have below 2.0, you can't play a sport at St. John's, whether that's football, basketball, no exceptions made. And I think my coach does a really good job of reminding me, you know, I slip up once in a while and he tells me like, listen, like get it together. Like I understand you slip up and I'm like, all right, yeah. Like there's moments when my grades dip a little, but with that academic support at St. John's, I think they really helped me with tutors, free tutors accessible to any student at St. John's. I think that really helps me getting my grades up. And obviously like having a goal to make it to Ohio State and even doing better in college than I did in high school, you know, whenever I'm on a phone call with Coach Myers, there's not a phone call I remember him saying, not asking me how my grades are, if he's going to be happy with my grades. So I think that's also like kind of puts it in every phone call. Like grades are really important, especially even if you're committed, like there's still a chance I cannot get in if I have bad grades. Like it's grades first, then lacrosse second. So I think talking to him and him really like telling me like grades are still really important. I think that's really what helps me in the classroom and on the field. It's really, this is going to be my last year with playing high school. It's my last year guaranteed playing lacrosse. So I think being hungry for winning another championship, no, I think that also plays a big role in it because this is my last guaranteed year of playing lacrosse. This is my last guaranteed year of starting. Like when I get to college, it's a whole different, I'm starting over again. I'm a freshman all over again. Have to make a name for myself. I just can't go in there thinking, oh, I'm a star, I'm better than all these guys. Like, no, like it's college. Everyone there is good. Everyone there is a great goalie. And there's going to be great shooters and great defensemen. So I think it's just the aspect of coming in, the mindset of I got to beat out that one goalie. You know, I have to beat out the starter, I have to beat out the backup, I have to beat out everyone who I'm competing with. I think that's what really drives me on the field also.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a great attitude. I love it. The rankings come out, you know, just in terms of the recruits. And I think you were the number one goalie of your class, right? Ranked number one. Does that put pressure on you? Do you feel a level of pressure of like, oh man, like I got to live up to that? Do you not even pay attention to that? How does that work for you?
I mean, I paid attention to it in the start, you know, September 1st when rankings came out. Actually, I'm the number two goalie. Anderson Moore is number one. He's number 10 player. I'm number 14, but I paid attention to it at the beginning. And then when I realized after I committed, it's like rankings don't really matter. Like I've seen kids who are unranked go to great colleges. Like you can see it in college now, you know, great kids who aren't even ranked, like they're doing great in college. So honestly, like once I realized like these rankings really don't matter after I'm out of high school, so I'm not going to focus on them too much. Like they're just like a concept of telling you where everyone is and where everyone is like going to be recruited, how many stars you have. Like that really doesn't matter. At the end of the day, everyone's going into college. No one cares about how many stars you have, what you ranked or anything. Like you have to earn your spot. And I think I kind of realized that going forward after I committed, I'm like, they don't really care what I'm ranked. They don't really care exactly how great I did in the high school. My high school accolades are going to be gone when I'm in college. So right. I think after I realized that, I think I don't really care about the rankings that much anymore after I realized it's not going to help me play in college. So
great point. Yeah. And so, I mean, you've seen a lot of stories of goalies that are ranked so high, get to college and then just nosedive. They lose their confidence. They don't work as hard. And then you've seen, like you said, stories of goalies not even ranked, right? Get into a program and then just find their confidence. And that even happens at the pro levels too. I mean, you've seen some guys that like had okay college careers, right? And then just like exploded later in life. Cause goalie is so much about like finding that confidence and believing in yourself. And when you do, I mean, more than any other position, you can just, the results just explode on the field, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of confidence, right? Has there ever been a time when you kind of like doubt your confidence? And if so, like, how do you get right back on track?
Yeah, there's been a couple times, I think, especially getting hammered with shots, especially being a goalie, it's really hard because all the pressure's on you. Like I said earlier, like if you let in a goal, everyone's looking at you. Like everyone knows, right. Like you're the goal, and it's not, missed rotations. Like the goalie left that goal, and if it's from 7 yards or out, it's like that's his fault. So I think a couple times, you know, confidence has been shot down a little, but regroup. I just talk to my defense, you know, whether it's my fault or not. Like I'm gonna be like, yeah, that's me. I got the next one. Or we talk it out. Like who's supposed to be the two slide? Who was hot? Where did we not rotate? And I think once we figure that out as a group, I think my confidence really shoots up because I always play in front of a great defense. So I think with them helping me and them being in front of me, I think my confidence shot up real quick than where it would be.
Yeah. Do you have a specific routine that you go through when you give up a goal?
Not really. I really just go back to the defense, no matter if it's a fast break or anything. Like I just go back up, you know, I'll tell them like, yeah, that's my fault. It's from 10 yards and out. Like I should not have let that in. Or if it's again, a misrotation, we just huddle up and we just talk about it, whether that's a quick 2 seconds or it's going to be like 30 seconds or just being like, all right, this is what we have to do. We got to make sure offensive middies slide, tell them where they're supposed to go. And I'll tell them like, yeah, I'm fine with that shot or anything. I just should have had it next time. I think it was communication between me and my defense is what really like settles me down.
Love it, man. That's awesome. I want to read this little clip here. It says, talking about you, massive goalie, 6'2", 270, takes up a ton of net, but has lightning quick hands, and swift feet for a big man, very vocal and isn't shy at all about chirping shooters to get in their heads. Is that true?
Yeah. I like talking a little bit. I just think it's fun. That sounds like a risk factor to it, you know, because like, you know, if the attackman you're talking to scores on you, they kind of won that battle. So it's kind of like, it's fun, but it's like, it's a test at the same time. You know, it's just, I'm just having fun, you know, just talking to them, just joking around with them, you know, and sometimes it's serious. It's like, you suck, like you should not be on this field, you know? So I've had like a mix of those. And honestly, I think it just makes the game so much better. I honestly just think it makes the game so much better.
Yeah. It's a fine line. It's a fine line. I would definitely do it in practice because I think it does create that level of competition, like with your teammates. Yeah. And mine was always lighthearted, you know, like nice pass and thanks. I already warmed up. Those type of chirps, those are good ones.
Yeah.
I don't know what's in your chirping arsenal.
Yeah, it's a pretty deep arsenal. You know, especially high school practices, you know, if you miss a pass or hit me in general, I'm going to tell you, like, you suck, like, get off the field. Like, how are you going to, like, Matt Haley, whenever he hits me, I'm like, how are you going to Navy or something like that? Like, it's just like, whenever, and he does the same thing to me. So whenever we like talk to each other, like, especially trash, it's like, we go hard. It's not lightly. And that really prepares us for game time too, because other teams are obviously going to do that. So yeah. I think it makes practice so much more fun, especially competition based, as you said. So, yeah.
What do you do when the other opposing teams chirp you? Are you chirp right back, or are you a little bit, you know, how do you kind of deal with it incoming?
Yeah, I honestly just laugh. At it. And then honestly, I just point at the scoreboard. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Someone who hasn't scored or got an assist all day, I'm like, who even are you? Like, I thought you're supposed to be good. Like just like stuff like that. I think it's really fun, especially when it's a team that's down by a lot and they're just trying to get in your head. All you gotta do is point at the scoreboard and the scoreboard says it all. Like, I just think that's also like a good way.
Yeah. Or just go out there and make that next save. Right. I mean, we talk about the next save mentality as being this like mental, like for the mental game, but it can really help with when you're getting chirped too. Just go out there and make the next save. And then you let your play do the talking. If you're not the chirping type.
Yeah, exactly.
Not saying you have to be.
Yeah.
Cool. It also says in the same thing, says Fayoc is terrific on his outlets, routinely dropping dimes in players' sticks to get transition going. Sounds like this post knows what it's talking about. So how did you fine tune that element of your game?
I think it was just working. I think it was under my dad kind of like emphasized like, okay, you can make a save. That's cool. But if you can't clear it, that save was for nothing. You know, so like if it's a fail clear, it creates transition for the other team. So I think me and him worked on it. Like, I'm pretty sure like every practice, just clearing in high school, we work on clearing every day. We split up defense, offense. Defense just clears for like a solid 10 to 15 minutes. And it's just constantly running our clear and throwing outlet passes and just getting my stick locked in. So I think that's at a lot of high schools, you know. So once you get to high school, you better have your stick skills like ready to go, especially being a freshman if you want to play. Like, you have to throw great outlet passes, and transition starts with you. You're the first person to have the ball. So I think setting up your teammates for success, I think that will really help you in the next level.
100%. Yeah, 100%. It just makes you a better goalie too. If you got great stick skills, I mean, the odds are you're going to make more saves, because, I mean, yeah. What is lacrosse goalie but like catching really hard passes, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's just all we're doing. So yeah, hit the wall, work on it. I mean, make sure you can throw all of the passes, whether it's a bullet, whether it's a touch pass. Yeah. Drop dimes. Yeah. What do you go with the stick, stick setup? And do you string your own sticks?
I don't string my own sticks. I don't know who strings them. I just get my dad, like, I tell him to pick up stuff and I'll pick it up. Send it. But I like to go with a shrinking shaft, the lightest shaft. I think it's used for like 13 and under. So I use the lightest shaft they have. And my stick setup for this year was an Eclipse 2 gray with two shooters, and then I want to say Jimbo Lax mesh, straight hard mesh, break sand, and some distant mesh. I think I've used throughout. I don't know how the ECD one is yet. I'm gonna have to use that, but so far throughout my career, I've just used straight hard mesh, and it just breaks in. It's a very consistent stick. It doesn't move around when I try to clear. I can throw a sidearm behind the backs, you know, whatever I need to, instead of having a stick that's purely whip that has a lot of tug to it, because I can't make the 70-yard passes. Like, if an attacking's open, I'm throwing it to them, and I'm going to try to throw it on the dot to them no matter what. So I think having that kind of stick set up and having no whip in my stick, but also having soft hands and controlling rebounds, I think that's a good setup for a goalie.
Yeah, love it. Yeah, I just got my hands on some of the new ECD Impact, the semi-hard, yeah. So I'm going to test that out and see how it is. But Jimilax. Yeah. I've heard that brand. I haven't used it all that much. But that's cool. That is cool. What does your goalie training regiment look like these days? Is it, do you do like specific drills? Are you just like, take a lot of live shots? What do you do to get better, Caleb?
So I usually go to Goldiesmith I'll say two times a week, Wednesday and Thursday, I think. There's this high school session and there's a college session. I go to both sessions, and it's just college and top-notch high school players just shooting on you. You know, Goldsmith does a really great job of telling you exactly what to do and how you should play this type of thing. You know, they're not going to force you into being like, you have to play this, you're not going to be successful. I think them having a helping hand, and from my freshman year on to my sophomore to my junior and now to my senior year, especially with the mix of what my dad taught me, I think doing Goldiesmith is a big help. And I think during practice, I usually just get warm-up shots and then clear for about 5 minutes, make sure my stick's dialed in for a club. But in high school, I have about 15, 20 minutes alone, just me and my dad and the other goalie. You know, he's taking shots on those sticks side high, offside high, stick side low, offside low, hip, offside hip. And then obviously it's clearing, you know, like he gets mad when we don't throw a pass straight to his stick, because that's what our head coach expects from us, and that's what he expects from us. So I think the training part of it is not, I wouldn't say it's hard, but it's a lot of work. I think you have to love to be a goalie to be great. I think you just can't hop in cage and just be like, oh, I hate this, or like, it's okay. Like, you have to love the position if you want to be really good at it.
100% agree. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you don't love taking shots, then you should probably find another position, because that's really what it's all about. And yeah, I mean, I've had some emails from kids that say, like, I don't really like taking shots. And that's kind of been my advice is, I mean, I want everyone to be a goalie. Obviously I'm a little biased in that way, yeah. But at the end of the day, I mean, you gotta see rubber. And if you don't enjoy doing that, then, like, you know, you're probably better off playing attack or playing defense or playing another position. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. What a resource, Goalie Smith. That's awesome. You know, those guys are, I think, the best coaches in the sport. I haven't worked with your dad, so I don't know. Can't say, but I've chatted with the Goalie Smith brothers a lot, and they're awesome. What is it just being, I mean, to me, a lot of it too, is just being around other elite goalies, right?
Yeah. I think especially getting to know the goalie community, I think especially going to them, like, there's a lot of goalies, you know, and it's just sometimes when they're working with someone else, like, other goalies kind of support you throughout that whole transition, especially in high school and working with college goalies. I think everyone's there for each other and everyone's going to, like, pick everyone up. If you have, like, a bad day, like, no one's going to be like, you suck or anything. Like, they're going to be there, like, help you and, like, help you learn, like, oh, you got the next one or anything. And then especially with Goalie Smith, you know, Drake Porter, Andrew and Mike, I think those are great assets, especially when they pull you aside, they focus on you in that moment in time. They're not looking at anyone else. They're telling you exactly, like, what's going on, like, try this. If it works for you, awesome. I'd say stick to it. But if not, like, that's okay. They're going to find something else for you that works for you. But I think having them as a resource and having the type of shooters they bring in every time, I think that's really a big help.
Do you remember any of those lessons that they taught you?
Yeah. So it's kind of like, especially low angle shots, you know, they're teaching us low angle shots, you know, play it. Like, you can kind of mess with the shooter sometimes, say they're from the wing and they're shooting you, like, at the last second, step out, you know, that takes up more space, you know, it makes them think, takes that extra second. So they'll either miss or they'll shoot it straight at you. Like, it's just the type of things like those, like, stance wise, like, don't have my stick all the way up, like, over my head. Like, don't have my top hand over my head, you know, keep it low, keep it so I can move as quick as possible. I can get to those low shots or those offside high shots. Just, like, things like those, like tweaking your positioning, like, trying to, like, fix how your stance is. No goalie stance is the same. I think everyone knows that, but I think helping you get comfortable and helping you to a place where you can make stops all around the cage, not just one place, I think that's what they really do a good job of.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, and I just love watching their stories and just seeing all the goalies and seeing the big tasty Hawk appear up there making saves. Jack Webb's always up there.
Yeah,
he's been on the podcast and presented. He's a great guy. That's awesome. That's awesome. I was going to ask, so have you been in contact, like, do you know the Ohio State players? Like, do you know, like, I'm going to interview Skyler for the podcast. Have you met their starting goalie this year? Do you know those guys yet or not yet?
I don't know them too well. I've talked to them a couple times on my visit. I talked to Henry Blake, Warren, who's going to be a freshman coming in. Mm-hmm. But I haven't really talked. I talked to Kate and Johnson, but I haven't really talked to Skyler that much. No, but so I just really haven't talked to him.
Yeah. Well, there's plenty of time. I was just curious. not like you need to. You know, you got, you know, all that time. I was just curious how that works. And then, how often do you talk with the coach, the head coach there?
I talk to the head coach probably, I want to say four or five times a month. Really, just like if we're texting, he's keeping up. But I really talk to Coach Crane, the defensive coordinator, a lot. He just texts me, like, it's not even about lacrosse or school. It's just like, how's it going? Like, what's the TV show you're watching? Or, like, you watching this game, you watching that game? Like, I think it's just, like, things with that really makes the connection, like, really, like, real, like, between a coach and a player. Like, you can talk to them about anything besides school and lacrosse. I think that's what makes a great coach.
Yeah, love it. That's awesome. Yeah, just, I mean, they got to know that you care before they care about what you know. So, like, just getting to know them on that personal level does that, right?
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, that's a good advice for any goalie, you know, like, if you wanted to know, like, how to be a good teammate, like, just, like, be a good friend, like, get to know them, get to know the interests of your teammates. Love it. I was going to ask, so when I watch the Goalie Smith stories and see a lot of these top level goalies, a lot of the goalies are doing what Coach John Galloway calls the hop. And it's kind of like just a little, like, I don't know, like a little hop to kind of like reset the weight right before the shot comes. You know what I'm talking about? And do you do that?
I try not to, because depending on once I get there and I'm set, the shot's already off. But I think for a lot of goalies, it's just like calming themselves down and like staying still, because they don't want to move around. They don't want to move around. And then the shot goes the opposite way. You know, once you're in that motion of moving and someone shoots it, it's really hard to get back to your stance and then move to where that ball is going. So I try to stay set probably before the shot. I just try to stay up and try to track the shot exactly. Like, I never look at the shooter's eyes. I only look at his stick and where the ball's released from. So I think that's what I really do.
Yeah, love it. What do you think? What area of your game do you think you need to work on right now?
I think low shots and offside shots. I think for a lot of goalies, I think those are really tough shots to get. For some, maybe easier than others, but I think for me, those are one of the top things I need to work on: low and offside, especially being a bigger guy. You know, I'm not as flexible as other goalies, but I think just working on those and getting me ready for my senior year, I think that's one of the things I really have to like work on.
Love it. And how do you work on that? Is it just taking low shots, off stick hip shots?
Yeah, it's kind of just getting shots from my friend who goes to UMBC. It's just getting shots from telling him exactly where to shoot and always try to step in that 45-degree angle, always try to get my body and stick in front of the ball. I think that's how I would improve on it, just getting shots constantly. You know, your body has muscle memory. Your muscle memory will just like be like, okay, this is what I need to do on those type of shots. It's more of a reaction than thinking. At a certain point, you don't think anymore. You just react. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it for being a goalie is just reacting.
Totally. Yeah. And building up that muscle memory. So you're right. Like, you see the shot going low and it's not like, all right, now I got to drive my top hand. I got to step with my lead foot, recovery step. You're not even thinking about all that. Yeah. It's just, you just go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it, man. I want to talk a little bit about the mental game, if we could. I mean, obviously, you know, goalies need to be mentally tough. When you think about mental toughness, are there lessons that come to mind for you?
I think every goalie has heard this: focus on the next shot. I think you let one in, you know, maybe it's one you should have, maybe it's one you shouldn't have had. I think just learning to let that go and learning to just blow it past you, you know, always focus on the next shot. Cause if you're dwelling on the last shot, how are you going to be ready to make the next save? You know? So I think just really letting that one go, like, yeah, you can like keep that in the back of your head, like, I should have had that next time, but you need to focus on the shot that's coming next. Always focus on the next shot. Always focus on what's happening next. I think that's what I usually do.
Yeah, it's so key, right? That next shot mentality.
Yeah,
it's a cliche on the show, but for good reason, right? It's good reason. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to get caught up, like, oh man, I should have had that one. And then all of a sudden, play's coming at you, and you're still thinking about that last one, and you're not reacting, and you're not playing loose and having fun. So that's huge, man. That's huge. All right. Well, good luck in your senior season. And then good luck at Ohio State. It's going to be fun watching you progress, Caleb. I can't wait.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. If you had to leave the goalies out there with one final piece of advice, what would that be?
I would say have fun. That's all you can really do. Just have fun. You know, you can have a bad day, you can have a good day, but I'd rather have a bad day while having fun than having a bad day not having fun, you know, and I'd rather learn having fun rather than not learning to have fun. So I think just having fun, and when you're having fun, you tend to learn and you tend to want to learn how to be a better goalie. So I think just having fun is one of the biggest pieces of advice to me that gives me.
I love it. Well, that was fun. That was fun. We just had fun. The Instagram, if people want to follow you.
Big_tasty_hawk.
Big Tasty Hawk. Thanks a ton, yep. Bud.
Yep.
So there you have it. Hope you enjoyed that episode with the Big Tasty Hawk, Caleb Fiok. Will be awesome to see him at the Ohio State University 2027. Four more years, maybe even a fifth year. We'll get to watch him play. That's going to be really cool to follow his career. Awesome young man. You can just tell by the answers. He's got a great attitude. He's got what it takes to reach Division One lacrosse and have success. And I wish Caleb nothing but the best. That'll do it for this week. Hope you enjoyed that episode with the Big Tasty Hawk. Anytime you can get the Big Tasty Hawk on the podcast, it's going to be a great day. And a great day it is. We are at the beginning of August. Slower time for lacrosse. Where are you at in your lacrosse season? I'd love to know. It's an interesting time. A lot of folks have finished their summer season, and we got a little bit of a lull before fall ball starts up. But for many goalies, playing other sports at this moment is the right thing to do. It almost hurts me to say that because I'm a lacrosse goalie coach, and I eat, breathe, and sleep lacrosse goalie all the time. But for many youth, you know, going to play soccer, going to play football, any racket sport, pickleball, squash, tennis are amazing sports that translate into your lacrosse goalie game. So especially if you feel yourself getting burnt out, if you had a long spring season that led into a long summer season, take a little break. That is my advice for today. But taking a break doesn't mean sitting on the couch, right? Get out there, get some work in, do well, and be well. I'm Coach Damon. Take care.
You've been listening to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast with your host, Coach Damon Wilson.